My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to Inside United, a place where we talk to all kinds of interesting people in the United Church of God and those who cross paths with us. Today we're on the road in Northwest Zambia with my special guests, Derek and Cherry Pringle, whom I've known for 23 years. He is pastor of our congregations in what's called the Copper Belt here in northern Zambia, and also the churches out west and to the northwest towards Angola in the country of Zambia. Welcome to Inside United.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I would like to hear a little bit from you about your background, Derek.
Well, I was brought up in Rhodesia, southern Rhodesia, as it were in those days. Went to school there. My parents had a farm. We've just been many happy days in the school holidays, running around barefoot and with a tutu rifle, shooting doves. So really delightful life. Got introduced into worldwide by my father in 1966. 95 was a bit of an upheaval. We were in Zambia then, had moved up, better prospects from South Africa, where we spent about 9 years learning lots of things which we didn't really want to learn through the hardships, but it all helped to mold us.
Let's go back to just your life in Rhodesia, because the term Rhodesia is so ancient sounding for us, but that's where you grew up. But I'd like to hear from Cherry, because she is, to me, a true Rhodesian and has that spirit. You both do, but I'd like to hear a little bit about you.
Thank you, Victor. Well, yes, you're right. There's no one quite like a Rhodesian in our minds anyway. I was also born in Rhodesia, of course. My dad was a farmer, so I also ran around barefoot. I don't think I shot quite as many doves as Derek did, but I loved farming, could drive a tractor at a very young age and loved going out with my dad. In fact, I really loved my dad and I always said I would marry somebody like my dad, tall, dark and handsome and a farmer. And yes, that's why I married Derek. I've certainly had a life of plenty ups and downs. A quick story about our baptism. The minister who baptized us said it was one of the most interesting baptisms he did. We actually got baptized in a river on our farm, and this was during the war years in Rhodesia. And the river was right next to an area where the we call them terrorists. They were called freedom fighters, but where the enemy was, I can say. So it was a little bit scary. And but when we came out of the water and we were having the baptism prayer, the horseflies attacked us in force, and they really enjoyed these wet bodies. And so the minister said that's the very shortest baptism prayer he's ever given. And immediately Derek had his first trial because we were in a Land Rover and it wouldn't start. So it was one of those old-fashioned things. Normally Derek would have kicked the thing and said bad words, but we had just been baptized. So he very politely said to me, Cherry, would you mind going outside and cranking? So yes, I had to get out now and face the horseflies again and crank the old Land Rover to get it going.
Well, we have really appreciated the stories that the Pringles have told us about God's special protection over them. They've had numerous stories that they've related over time, some that they have written down and some of them that they can share with you. I know that we're trying to be very careful about talking about terrorism and that type of thing, because for some people, the terrorists were the freedom fighters and so forth. But nonetheless, you did live in a war zone. You lived during the Rhodesian Civil War. I'd like to hear more about that, Derek.
I was seconded. I was farming in that area, and I was seconded to the veterinary department because we had in that whole area, big area, an outbreak of foot and mouth. And what we used to do is foot and mouth animal gets sores, blisters in its mouth. It scratches it with its hoof. The virus is transferred to the hooves. The cattle can't walk. And the disease doesn't actually kill them, but because they can't get to water or food, they die of thirst or starvation. So what we did, we would suck the pus out of a blister in an animal's mouth, mix it with distilled water, and inject the whole herd, 2 millimeters to each animal. So the whole herd got foot and mouth at the same time. And the farmer could then have them in one area and look after them. And after a couple of weeks, they recovered. And that's how we did it. But on one occasion, I was inoculating a big herd. I was hoping to finish in that day, and we couldn't do it. It was getting too late. In fact, it was getting almost to sundown, miles and miles away from home, on a dirt road. Unfortunately, the roads were white sand, and so and the moon was up that night. So I drove as fast as I could without headlights along this road, and until I got to the tar road, that must have been about 30 miles of dirt road, and had another 15 of tar. So the next morning, up early, I went back to this farmer down below in the bush, and the police stopped me on that very same road. what do we call them? Right, let's be polite, call them freedom fighters.
Okay. We can live with that.
They dug a trench across the road. And so I was speaking to the officer in charge. They dug a trench so any vehicle coming along would hit this trench, overturn, and then they had an ambush point, and they'd open up and with their AKs and do a lot of damage. So I was quite interested in that, because that very same road, during the night, I'd gone through it, and I said, well, where did I set up the ambush point? And he showed me, and he said, you know, they must have been here for a day or two, because the grass was flattened, the leaves were flattened. You could see that people had been laying there for a long time. And I had gone through that ambush point. Luckily, they hadn't dug the trench yet, and they must have heard me coming along, and I could have easily have just opened up and let me have it, but they didn't. And I know in my own mind, in my heart and soul, that I was protected by God's holy angels and God himself.
We had many, many incidents where God protected us. The law was that you had to be off the roads by sunset, because that is when attacks would be done on the road. And he hadn't come home, and it was quite dark by now, and I had a small baby with me, and I heard a helicopter outside the house, and it was hovering over the house. It wasn't moving on, so I went out. It was shining its lights into the house, so I went outside, and as soon as they saw me outside, they dipped their wings and flew off. So I thought, oh, well, that's a message. That's something to do with Derek. I suppose something's bad. They're airlifting him, or something's happening. But anyway, off it went, and about half an hour, 3/4 of an hour later, here came this helicopter again, hovering over, shining its lights into my house. So I ran out again, dipped his wings, and he went off. 10 minutes later, here comes Derek home. And I said to him, wow, that was nice of that helicopter to escort you home. He did not see that helicopter at all. So we know that it was angels, very special angels that we have.
That's truly an amazing story. That was about what year?
That must have been about 1977 or thereabouts.
Was it shortly after that that you moved then from Rhodesia? And when did Rhodesia change to Zimbabwe?
That was in 1981. Uh-huh. But I must just tell you quickly another interesting story too. We were living out on a neighbor's farm. I'd hired some ground which didn't have a house on it, and also way out in the country. We were near what an area was called tribal trust lands, where the Africans had been settled. And of course, it was a bad area. It was called Chilimanzi, and the freedom fighters were in there. In force, and a friend of mine, Ron Cullinan, he was involved with the security forces at that time, and he kept on saying to me, Derek, you've got to get out of there. Derek, you've got to get out of there. And I said, I'm not going to live in town. We had a small mining town about 20 miles away. And I said, I'm not going to go and live there. I don't live in towns. Anyway, I was checking his cattle one day, and he said the same thing. Derek, I'm telling you, you've got to get out. And he said, there is one house left. It was a town called Dladapanzi. He said, there's one house left, and if you don't move, you're going to lose it. This was on about a Tuesday. So immediately I said, without even thinking, I said, okay, we'll take it. Yeah, I've been hedging and looking at all the excuses why not to go. And I just said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. So I went back to Cherry. I said, take some people with you. Go and check this house out, clean it up. We're moving on Friday. Ron said, I'll give you a truck. You can move all your stuff on one day. I said, great. Well, we couldn't actually do it. We had to leave a lot of stuff behind, our fowls and what have you. We moved on the Friday, set the house up over the weekend. Monday morning, I went back to where we had stayed. And the freedom fighters had been in. I had a manager on the place that killed him. Slaughtered all our fowls. I guess they used it for food. Smashed up all our furniture that were in there. Broke all the windows in the house. So if we had stayed there, just the two of us, Cherry and myself, and we had a small child of about 3 years old, I failed to think what would have happened. But once again, God moved us out at the right time.
You know, God did have something in mind for you at that time because of his graciousness and special protection. He had something in mind for you. Then you moved from there in, you said, 81 or 78?
84. Yeah, we moved. We bought a farm near Salisbury called Harari today. And, I don't know whether I should. I got interrogated by the CID, you might call them. Criminal Investigation Department. They accused me of a mass massacre of people that I'd never been near. Long story, but grilled me for 4 hours, and we decided to move out of Zimbabwe by then into South Africa, where we stayed for about 9 years.
And that's where I met you. I know that I was at the Feast of Tabernacles of 1996, and I met you. And Cherry, you were just very, very significant to me because somebody introduced me to the Zambians. And you didn't quite look like Zambians.
The white Zambians.
But I remember meeting you in 1996 and never thought that there would be any further history. But then our history continues when, through circumstances in the church, I came to visit you again. And I remember, since Derek talked about how he didn't want to be ordained, he was down in South Africa, and I said, Derek, we really, really need you. We really need you. And at that time, we had another ordination of Roy DeMont. He says, I don't want to be ordained at the same time. Looks like we're just stacking the deck. And I said, no, we really need you to help out in Zambia because there were no other elders in Zambia, Malawi, or South Africa. And Derek, that's when really he began to help us out in a very, very significant way, in a very unique way with the churches in the Northwest. Tell me, Derek, about the start, or you might say the reorganization of the church in Mufulira and how that has developed, and then how that really morphed into your going all the way to Solwezi, but actually Mufumbwe first, and actually we're in Mufumbwe right now making this podcast. How did that all happen?
So yes, the biggest group of people was in a town about 30 kilometers from us, a place called Mufulira, and we started working with those people, building them up, and it gradually grew and grew. We got a calling from a place called Solwezi, which was 300 odd kilometers from us. Saw those people. Interesting, when we went there, there was an old man in a wheelchair. His name was Horasi. And he said to me, Mr. Pringle, he says, we've been waiting for you for 25 years. He had been reading the Good News magazine at that time, many, many years ago. And he still had these old, old copies of the Good News, torn and well used, and a few booklets. And he was on his own, keeping the Sabbath and the holy days. So we built up a very good relationship with there, and then into Mufumbwe, which was another 200 kilometers further northwest, and then into Meninga, another 100 kilometers further towards the Angola border. To give you an idea, we had a meeting in Mufulira. We built a new hall there and various facilities. We had 60 people attending in Mufulira, Solwezi 50, and in Meninga, where Victor opened up a new hall for us, there were 70 people. So you can see how God has opened up the people's minds and in these different areas.
You know, Derek Pringle, his job has been a person who's been building security systems, walls, fences, all that type of thing in the Copper Belt, which is a region of Zambia with a lot of copper mines and a lot of industry, and he does a lot of work for them. But he's, out of his own generosity, has been instrumental in building buildings. These buildings have been built. Mufulira, Solwezi was a remodeled building. Mufumbwe, which we are sitting in that building right now making this podcast, and then the dedication of another building to the far west. Without Derek Pringle, I don't think that there would have been much of anything that would have developed further to the northwest. More than that is the further development of local leadership, which is, I've also been very, very impressed about how Derek and Cherry both have been looking to the future and the continuation of this area. How has this affected you, Cherry?
Well, we know that God was working with us even when we were in South Africa, and we hit on bad times there, and we weren't quite sure what to do. We'd been there for 10 years. And Derek said, you know, Cecil John Rhodes always said, go north, my son, go north. So, Cherry, let's go north. And that's how we came up to Zambia. And it certainly wasn't very easy. Our first few years in Zambia were very, very hard. Many days we didn't even have water, let alone food. But we struggled through it, and we knew God was preparing us for the role that we have now. But I must tell you, when the Mufulira Church first started, it was a man-only church. I was the only woman for quite a few years. And my husband even made me do speeches in Spokesman's Club, and he evaluated me in front of all the men. But anyway, eventually I said, listen, guys, you've got to bring your wives or your girlfriends or somebody else. I need company here. And from there, that's as how the church grew. But we also distribute the Beyond Today. In around about the year 2000, my husband kindly offered his services to distribute the magazine in Zambia. The magazine is printed in the Cape. It always has been for many, many years. Well, he actually had ulterior motives because the task was passed on to me, but I've greatly enjoyed it. I've been very happy to have somebody helping with me. He's one of our workers in our business. Our business is called Active Agencies, and Chongolo works for us. He's a very great help with us in the business, and he does most of the addressing on the envelopes and cutting them, and then I check up on everything and we put in whatever needs to go in. It's not an easy task here. We've tried printing them, but our postage system is a little bit different. This is a fourth world country, so we have to do the envelopes by hand. It's rather lengthy, but in the beginning we used to post 500 envelopes. But over the years now it's dwindled down, and we now to about 90 envelopes that we post, mainly because the post office changed their system. They do not do physical deliveries at all anywhere around Zambia. So most of these people do not have post office box numbers, so they have to try and find box numbers or try to get the magazines from us. So we're still posting, and funny enough, when we were posting 500 envelopes, it cost us 1,500 kwacha, and now we're posting 90, and it's still costing us 1,500 kwacha. In those days, it was 3 kwacha an envelope, and now it's about 7 kwacha an envelope. But then, of course, we also send them out to outlying areas, so to Lusaka and Isaka and Chapata. We put those magazines into boxes, and that costs us quite a bit more. So that's how we distribute the magazines. The United News and booklets we still get from the home office. It's just the Beyond Today. But we also deliver them to clinics and to the libraries. The libraries in the various towns are very happy to have the Beyond Todays. The children use them in their projects. And we also have a couple of Bible shops that we deliver to. We hope they will be given out free. We're not quite sure sometimes if they get charged for. But yes, it's a great work, and we have a tremendous time doing the work, and just happy that we are here to do it.
Well, you do both aspects of the work of proclaiming the gospel by sending out the magazine and also caring for the churches, the whole ball of wax, you know, done by the Pringle family. I'd like to hear what you are projecting for the future and your thoughts for the next 5 years or so, Derek.
Well, you know, everything hinges on whether God, Jesus Christ, builds the church. That's what it all hinges. We are just instruments. We are the tools. Everything is to the glory and the greatness of our loving Father. So, and the church has been growing, and it is growing, still growing. And we've got to a stage now where we need more qualified leadership. The churches are growing too big. They extend. We've got satellite churches opening up long distances away. I use deacons to go out to build them up. I visit them once or twice a year. They also grow. The truth of God's word is spreading. There's no doubt about it. But I suppose most organizations, we need good leadership. And Cherry and I, on our own, it's growing too big now, and we need further help there.
Derek and Cherry have truly been servants in this part of the world, have truly furthered the Word of God, have made a difference in the lives of these people who have the joy of salvation, but also behind that exterior there's the hardship of living. Is Cherry, I've never heard this term, fourth world country. You know, it's been third world. Cherry dropped it down a notch. But it really is. It's some of the most impoverished places in the world. Malawi and Zambia are ranked at the very bottom 10 of countries around the world as far as standard of living and a life, and it is very difficult. So thank you for being here today with us.
Well, it's our pleasure, Victor, and you please go well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us here on Inside United. Come back soon again for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.